Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. We're here with the Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. Company of Prophetic Intercessors is on the line, and this session is underway. We're excited to be here with you today. Good morning to everybody. Your lines are open. If you would like to say good morning to the people, please feel free to jump in and say good morning. Don't forget your lines are open. If you need to mute on your end, please do so. We're excited to be here
good
with
morning.
You
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, Prophetess. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. We're excited to be here this morning, and it's just an exciting day to be alive. It's been raining since yesterday. Has it been raining on your end, Prophetess Vontina? Storming really bad?
I didn't hear what you asked me.
Has it been storming really bad or really intensely since yesterday for you guys on your end of the city?
It was storming last night.
Okay. Yeah, we've had.
And it's still raining now, but yeah, it was storming all night.
Okay. Yeah, we had storms since yesterday sometime before evening masses and then all this morning. So it just really stopped raining, but it's a lot of water out there. So I was just checking to see what you guys had in, on your end. Looks like it storms all over. Elder, about what about where you are?
I'm not sure if it rained. I fell asleep. I know it got dark on my way home, but
okay.
No, that was the day before. We got it the day before.
Okay. Okay,
we
just
got
trying
to
check. Just checking their temperature so I can see what's going on. You know, you got to pay attention. You remember he told the Pharisees, which means this is a thing. He said you can discern the seasons and the times because you know you're paying attention to things. You've been trained to identify how things work, and when you've been trained to identify how things work, you work those things. You figure that out. You know. You could put two and two together. You can connect the dots, he said, but you couldn't see the words that you were reading was standing in front of your face, you know? That's pretty deep. Because being able to identify with those things is really not the easiest thing in the world to do. That's what comes to people's minds, readily. Those ways things. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I felt like I was going to have a couple of objections this morning. I didn't speak it, but I just was like, yeah. Let's see. Hallelujah. Okay, do me a favor. While I'm checking on this end, just if you guys would kind of refresh the people of what we've been talking about and some of the things that stood out to you in our conversations about witchcraft and deliverance and this kind of thing. What are some of the things that stood out to you? I'm going to see if I can get my line cleared up.
I'm blank.
Well, one of the things is how the enemy will come for you in your youth. He doesn't wait till you get old to do what he does. He starts at an early age messing with your identity, your mindset, forming you just like we try to. Well, it's our job as parents to lead our children in the way that they should go, but that's what the enemy does to us at a young age. He starts out at a young age trying to corrupt us with different things.
So then in essence what you're saying, Prophet, or what you're bringing clarity to is the fact that just as it's the job of a parent to train up a child in the way they should go, then their opposition to that training is already present.
Yes.
And that's something that we don't think about. You know what I'm saying? We're not considering that when he's telling us to do something, that there's a reason. Because if you're not training them up in the way that they should go, then whatever is objecting what you should be doing is leading them in a way that it wants them to go.
And a lot of the things that we consider innocent, that we don't pay attention to, these things like fables and all these, you know, the
fairy tales,
the tooth fairy, and all these lies that we teach. Yeah, all that stuff that we teach that we look at as innocent, the trolls and, you know, just all these little things that we look at as being nothing, the music that we allow them to listen to as they get older and, it's no harm in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a wolf, like, you know, the fairy tale and she's clothing.
So what's happening is...
And the games that we allow them to play, those
and
violent games that desensitize them.
Yes. So what you're saying is that we're actually allowing them to go through doors. We're opening doors for them by even handing them the object to go through the doors. We're giving them the key.
Let me ask you that.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just on the phone with a friend of mine, and a girl had came in the background and told her some game that these kids been playing. She said, you need to check that game out, because she got on the game. I guess just, you know, seeing what her child was doing, but it was an adult on the game now. And she mm-hmm. was saying that you need to check that game out because I don't know, I understand why if it's a kid's game, now it's adult on there. So even like Providence Fontina said, like with the games, I think you mentioned before about the cartoons,
mm-hmm.
Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
you know, some things, mm-hmm. and even like the commercials and stuff that, not the commercial,
mm-hmm.
like the cartoons is what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you know, we think, oh, well, oh, that's just a cartoon, but, you know, but the sad, like in my case, and probably so many of you others, like, it's my grandchild, so I got to get it in my son's head enough that, you know, something is done about it. Because, like, you know, they think, I was just having a conversation, then I'm going to be quiet because I really didn't say it first. I'm sure. But, you know, like I was just talking to a friend and I was telling, you know, when we came up, we took time out and we taught our kids the ABCs. We taught them how to print. We taught mm-hmm. them how their colors, you know, little things that we did as they was coming up. When they mm-hmm. were old enough, just starting to talk and stuff. But now, and I had to think back as me and her were talking, I remember when my granddaughter was in a walker, and her mm-hmm. mother sat here right in front of this TV where mm-hmm. they was teaching them the games, they was teaching them the ABCs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, really not paying any mind, because when you look at it, you say, oh, that's it's an educational
mm-hmm.
Program. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it starts out as that. So that, and I was just telling her, I said, that's where the opening comes in at, because you allow that to happen. And then now that's their first introduction to the devices,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
as babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. There's some
but that's
that
a lazy
say,
parent on some real stuff. That's a lazy parent because just what you're doing with just what the TV is doing, if you take time to see, they look at it, oh, they occupying them with the music and they singing songs and putting in the ABCs and all that. Well, you could do that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But things have changed. Now, my granddaughter only 12, but that's how long things have changed on how we've done things.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to really think about, boy. I tell you, this morning,
it is.
That's where my thoughts was at, on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. So imagine.
And we think that's innocent.
For 12 years, doors have been being opened to demonic realms. For 10 years, for my oldest grand, you know, doors have been open, you know, to them. And we were thinking that these were innocent situations, innocent things, but that's the deception of darkness to make you think that it's an innocent situation, you know. And we're not saying that, you know, as older kids or whatever or even as younger kids, that as you're teaching them things that you can't reinforce things, but there still should be some interaction. And it's the same for me with parents that, you know, take their kids to Sunday school or to regular school. Don't expect someone else to teach your kids what you're not teaching them, because they need your perspective so that if they are confronted with something else, even while they're being taught, then they already know your voice. They know your perspective on things. And so even if you haven't had a full conversation about your perspective, it's something in your voice that is training them in a way. And your perspective is released through how you're sounding. Through your sound, through your frequency. So anything that doesn't align itself, and I know this sounds like it might be a little advanced for the minds of some people, but understand, everything is not communicated. You ever heard the phrase, some things are taught, are caught, not taught? Okay. If you've ever heard the phrase, some things are caught, not taught, you recognize everything you never said in front of children, you now see them doing. Things you never said in front of them that you can see them or hear them saying, you know, why? Because they caught it. It's a spiritual thing. So as you're having a conversation with them, even if you're teaching them their ABCs or teaching them how to count, there's a frequency that's in your voice. There's something about who you are that's being translated to them through the conversation.
And when they hear something that is opposite of that translation, opposite of that conversation that's coming through the timbre, the tone, the uniqueness of your sound that is supposed to be training them and raising them, they're going to know something is wrong. They're going to know something is wrong. I'm going to tell you, yesterday was such an amazing day for me because I I sat all my grandbabies down that were here, six of them, and I sat them all down, and we had a session. I cast the devil out, you know, of my grandbabies at his house. I told him he didn't have any access, and I controlled the environment in a way that they were not used to, but they were okay with because I had cast the devil out. So there were no attitudes. There were no issues. There was only attentiveness and, yes, Granny, what do you need? I'm on my way. Yes. Yes, ma'am. That's what I heard all day yesterday. So much so that when other things were happening in the environment, they weren't stomping and fussing because they had to help somebody else do something. But those things had to be cast out. But you need to have conversations. So some people say, oh, well, won't that scare the kids to talk about demons and devils? I mean, hell, they're looking at it every day. What are you talking about? Won't it scare them? They're looking at it. They're looking at it on their games. The subliminal messaging and everything is at its all-time high. You know, I'll never forget the fact that when I go back and I looked at or realized the subliminal messaging in Lion King, I was absolutely pissed off. I mean, absolutely pissed off. And it seemed like it ought to be something we should do or could do about these things, and it actually is. And this is why the Father is raising us up in this season to a status, to a place. So don't get in your heart and in your mind, you know what, I don't need to be rich. Oh, no, you need to have some money. You're going to need to be rich because money is a defense. You know, the fact that I've come into this place that I'm in right now, it took money to be in this place that I'm at. It took money to move my family out of an environment that they were in into this environment. It took money. That was a part of my warfare. So I had to get my attitude together because I felt like, listen, Father, we've already done this. You know, we've already done this. I've already done the training thing. I've already done, you know, and he said, and you're going to do it again in this environment. So I had to get my attitude together. And when I finally pulled myself together and realized the opportunity that the Father had given me in where I am and what he's called me to, I sat all my grandbabies down, and we had a devil casting out session. And I talked to them for 2 hours. 2 hours. And some people go, well, kids don't have that long of an attention span. Oh, mine did. Yeah, because it was some consequences. It was things attached to, you better be still. You better sit here, but that's all a part of training, okay? And when the enemy knows and identifies that you are serious about what you're talking about and where you are, he's not going to play with you like that. I told them everything I needed to tell them yesterday to start this conversation, and every day we're going to have this conversation, even if it's for 30 minutes. It may not be 2 hours every day, but even if it's for 30 minutes. Now, today we need to talk about, and I got a list of things because my oldest grandson has things that he has questions about that I don't think he's seen. But it wouldn't be until I opened this door by sitting them down and kicking the devil out and having conversations about chronic activity, devils, and witchcraft and all that stuff that they already looking at for you. Why y'all tripping? Now, what was funny to me was that they was looking over their shoulder, some of them, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, he on your trail. He hates you. You need to understand that it's not a game, you know, but you're protected, you know. And so I began to share some different aspects from a biblical perspective about some things, and we got into conversations about mythology and different Greek gods and this kind of thing and all that. And people say, well, what I got to do with the Bible? Well, this was the thing that Paul, this was the thing that Elijah, this is the thing that were being, these are the things that were being fought throughout the centuries. But if you never study, you'll never know that. So the things that excite them in the way of Marvel Comics and all of these other things that excite them, you have a thing that's more exciting when you can tell them that the God that Elijah was fighting on the mountain that he was on was Hercules. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, study. Go and study. Go find out who the God of these people were. Go find out the roots of things, and you'll be able to identify who he was dealing with. You know? That's a bigger story than Hercules just being on the cartoons fighting things and fighting people. No, Yah broke the back of these prophets, these false prophets, one prophet. that's a whole lot bigger news story than just these people going out and fighting crime and, you know, having superpowers. And no, he broke the back of these prophets, hundreds of prophets. So if you don't remember the number, right? If you don't remember whether it was 480 or 840, it don't matter. It was more than one. You talk about man, so don't tell me with just a couple people at a time. We're talking about just dealing with 100 people at a time. Hundreds. You're talking about the mighty men of David, the David train. These mighty men stood in the field and slew people like the sword was attached to their hand, never dropped the sword, never got tired. These are the stories that they need to understand and hear and know. What's behind the story, not just the story itself, but what's in it. What's really being fought? What are these things that we're fighting, you know? And a lot of the things that we are fighting in this age is persons without body. Now, they found bodies. That's the whole point. We're dealing with spiritual entities that don't have physical bodies. That's why they need a body to indwell. We're talking to the grandbabies about their bodies being housed. It's like I was talking to y'all about it yesterday. And letting them know and helping them to understand that the enemy is looking for a house. And when they're functioning under the levels of rebellion and disobedience and they're agitated, they don't like instruction and they don't like direction and discipline and all these things, I said, that's the work of the devil. That's a work of darkness. That means something is in you that's working in you. And people don't like to hear that. They're like, a devil in my kid? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And most of the time they're living under the radar because as long as they're quiet and in their space, on their phones or on their tablets, you think everything is okay till they hit a certain age and now they're doing stuff that you like, where is this coming from? It's coming from the training that they received in their devices. It's coming from their trainers. What we allowed to train them. Now it's coming to fruit. It's coming to harvest. It was simply a seed before, but now the environment is ripe. And now the harvest is ready, and you're not, you know. So there has to be an aggression behind this thing. And you cannot give up. I mean, I was telling them about, you know, when the house is swept clean. And I was dealing with all of that, but just giving them the scenario. But that's really for us to understand and identify as the adults in their lives that we have to replace. Once we cast the devil out, you got to replace what's in them with something else. You got to give them chores. You got to give them work to do. You got to have conversations. You got to watch stuff together. It's things that got to be done now. You can't just cast the devil out and think the devil going to stay out. And yeah, they might go into other environments and encounter other things. But again, it's your voice that you're releasing. And you have to understand the authority and the power of your voice. Train up a child in the way that they should go doesn't mean that they won't ever go a different way or that something else might not persuade them differently. But when they are old, the word is they will not depart. They're going to return to what they know. There may be a fight along the way. And there were two things that came up in my spirit this morning. And this phrase right here came up when I woke up. The path is not always pretty, but the pathway to promotion. For some strange reason, we feel like if it's not easy, if it's costing us, taking time, if it's tiring us a little bit, if it's, you know, any kind of wear on us physically or emotionally or mentally, then this can't be God. No, he said the press is not always pretty, but it's the pathway to promotion. Then he said there is a grace for your race, but you'll have to get in to win. You have to get in it. You've got the grace. Grace is just Yah's ability, God's ability to do a thing. It's not your ability. It's not your strength. He said, the word says not by power. It's not by might, but it's by my spirit, right? So it's his grace. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. What is he saying? He's saying the ability that I have given you is all that you need to sufficiently move through what you're doing. You don't need your own ideology. You don't need your own concept of things. You need to rely on this grace that I'm providing for you to get through this place. That's all. And casting out devils is not a one-size-fits-all. You know, it's not. You don't do it the same way every time. See, in this case, I didn't just cast the devil out. I had conversations. And in those conversations, there was an authority that I used to make sure that they were there and that they were present and that they were paying attention. That was the first line of that defense, was sit here, we're going to have a conversation. You're going to listen to what I have to say. Because I know that they have levels of understanding, different levels, yes, but they all have understanding. And when I speak, they're very attentive. I had a conversation. And then I took them through a process. And when the willingness, you should have seen the willingness, you know, even in my oldest grandson. You know, at first, when he sat down, he was kind of, you know, like kind of winded. And I said, I'm going to need you to pull it together because I can help you be winded. You understand? Well, like, well, that, how's that deliverance? Oh, no, that's deliverance. The Bible says that you spit a rod, that you spoiled them. If you are spoiling them, then you're not delivering them. That means you're not preserving them from this destruction. So there are measures. There are things that you have to put in place. These are children. These are not adults. You have to use your authority to position them, to put them where they need to be for the success of their life. And so there was no more windedness. There was no more, you know, oh, I mean, there was a stretch out. People were stretching out. No, no, we're not laying down. Lay down time is over. We slept last night. It's time to sit up and be attentive. I don't see you stretching out like that and just being worn out and moving all over the place when you're playing, what you're doing, or being on your phone. You're in one central station. And if you move, it's because you feel like moving from one place to another because that thing got you moving about. I said, but this ain't that. This is the conversation that I'm having with you, and you're going to need to be still and be attentive to hear what I'm saying. You don't need to look me in my face because, see, you got to look that adversary in the face when you're looking in your children, when you're looking into children's eyes. You got to look that devil in the face. You in the wrong space. You're in the wrong place. This don't belong to you. But if you never identify the authority and you never identify who you are and who how you should be known in darkness, then they're going to keep doing what they've been doing. They're going to keep on doing it. I love somebody that I love very dearly came to some conclusions. And I know, you know, sometimes some of the things that I say can put people off just a little bit, but it's okay. They'll recover from it. Because what I'm not going to do is play with devils. I'm not going to play games with darkness because I've already been in those pathways. You know, I've seen what darkness does. I remember coming up while I'm falling asleep, you know, the in between the sheets was one of the things that was said every night. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, as I'm going to sleep and I'm listening to the lyrics of these songs and these things are going into my spirit, there are seeds that are being established, okay? So you got to be mindful of the seed. You've got to be the planter. That's how you change this dynamic. You become the planter. You remove other plantings from being the planter without supervision. You can't plant without supervision. No, I'm always over the shoulder of my grandbaby. What are you looking at? And if they change what I put on, I'm taking the phone. You know, they know how to navigate YouTube and get through all these things and press buttons and move around and all that, and I'm taking the phone too. Because I put it on what I wanted it on. I put it on what I wanted you to see. Right? And that's what I want you to look at. Anything else? You moving in your own way? Okay. Phone privileges are done. They're over for the day. That's a wrap. So now tomorrow, when you ask and I hand you what I want you to see, because as we're talking, as we're communicating, I'm giving you like Superbook. Superbook is one of the things that I let my grandbabies look at since they were little babies. Let's just go through the Bible stories now. Even with that, you still got to be somewhere around. Just because you let somebody look at a Bible story don't mean you don't have to be present, because they don't always tell. They're not going to give the full story. You're just kind of introducing them to something if you're letting them watch it. That's an introduction. But the depth is going to come from you, because they may even change some aspects of the story just for entertainment purposes, you know? So now they think that this is what the Bible says. And it's not necessarily what it says. I'm going to walk you through that. Let's go to the scripture. Let's look at it, you know. Let's look at that. So these things are important, and the line is open. I want to take you guys through a couple of things here. I do have a verse for the day, or a couple of verses. First, 20, and then around 18, start at verse 10, and I'm going to do 10 and 11. Now, one of the things that's really imperative, you can jump in anytime, one of the things that's imperative is that we identify with how the Father's desire is for us to do a thing. Again, everything is not a one-size-fits-all thing. You know, the average person that you might encounter, if somebody brings their child to you, you're just going to cast the devil out. You may not talk to them for hours, but you may cast it out. But you're going to have to give some instruction to those parents, some direction to those parents for what they need to do, you know, so that they don't allow access to the child again. But it's so funny because I was talking, kind of brought up yesterday, the Catholic way of doing things, which is exorcism. And in bringing that up, it made me consider, you know, all of these different books and different things out there, and people are more interested in the names of devils and demons than casting it out. They think that if you know the name, you can cast it out. No, if you know the nature, you can cast it out. You don't need to know the name of it. You don't need to know what it looks like. Just, you know, that information you find in time, you can identify with the names of things and how a thing functions based on what you've read in the word. Okay, that's great. But if you don't know this is Leviathan, right, but you see this choking the life out of your kid, you can say, you spirit of death. Hello? The spirit that cuts off life, that's choking the life out of this child, come out. You don't need to know the name. But when you're dealing with, you know, a lot of religion or spiritual ideologists, this thing about knowing the name of a thing. Well, the only reason to really know the names is if you're associating with some or someone. I don't need to be acquainted by name. They need to be acquainted with me, but I don't need to be acquainted with them. Okay. We're not on no personal engagement level. I don't need to know you. You know how you teach your kids the difference between friends and acquaintances? I don't need the devil as an acquaintance. I don't need no demonic spirit as an acquaintance, so I don't need to know your name. So somebody would say, well, the master asked what the name of a thing was, and he was asking where your authority is coming from, who's backing you. And they said, listen, it's a bunch of us here. We're a unit. Legions, we're a unit. Legions is not a name. Legion is a number. That's an amount of something. He was inquiring about what am I dealing with? What's going on in here? And they had to reveal themselves as many instead of just one. So again, it's not a one size fits all. I'm not going to have no conversations with no devils unless I'm instructed to ask something, but that's not what I want to do. And then here's the other thing. I tell people this all the time. As you're doing these things, you know, the adversary is a good actor. Demonic forces are good actors. They love to act. They love to put on a show. It's all a part of their deception is the show, okay? So if you've ever been in a deliverance service, you may have noticed that people like to put out buckets and towels and because people like to spit up. My thing is don't spit up on my watch because I ain't cleaning that up. You're going to clean up your own throw up. So I'm telling you right now, we ain't doing no acting. We ain't doing no entertainment. You could just exit stage right, period. Come on out. We're not doing no entertainment. And the master told one of those spirits the same thing. Don't tear him. Don't rip him. Don't harm him. Get out. And that's how you really have to control the environment. Because if you don't control the environment, the enemy will think he still has some leeway to do some things as he leaves. I kind of used this the other day as an example, how people that own houses, you know, if they have to kick a tenant out, sometimes those tenants become belligerent and they want to put holes in the wall. They want to make work for you. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. You're going to be charged for every hole you put in my wall. I'm not going to fix it by myself. So even if up front, I have to make sure I got your information on a level where I can get access to some stuff. Oh, you better believe. You paying for that. That's coming out of your pocket, not mine. And I may even say, check this out. Here's a strategy. Now, this just came to my mind. I'm about to kick you out, but after you put the holes in my walls, I may tell you that you could stay for another month, another 2 months, right? Oh, now you got holes in your walls, so now what? You're like, well, can you come fix? Well, why is it a hole in the wall? Oh, yeah, that's I'm not to charge you for that. You know, it's all about navigating things. Things are not one size fits all, but you have to use the wisdom that's divine to do the things that need to be done in the way that they need to be done concerning your personal situation. As far as it pertains to things that are not directly connected to you. They're directly connected, but they may be your grandbaby or somebody else, and maybe there are other influences or whatever that are not on the same page necessarily you're on. However, you have to believe that the authority that you carry is bigger than what you're up against, first of all. Okay? Big, much bigger than what you're up against. And just like you could put the fear of Yah in a child, you could put the fear of Yah in demonic activity or demonic influences concerning your children. I'm going to open up the line for a minute and let you guys share. What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm going to go to, where are we doing? Let me chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11. All right, let me see. It says here, and I'm going to start at verse 9 because this is something that we brought up the other day, but this is also something that you can utilize for your household, for how things function. As you're bringing up a child, then there's a certain environment that you want to set. So as you're setting that environment, then you also have to set the parameters. And so this is what the father is doing concerning the Hebrew children as they're preparing to go into this promised place. It says here in verse 9, Deuteronomy 18:9, when thou art come into the land which Yah thy God giveth thee, this is Abraham, I'm sorry, Moshe speaking to the children of Israel. This is Moshe having a conversation with them. When you are coming to the land that Yah your God is going to give you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. We talked about this the other day. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. What is that? That's the god Molech, right? And Molech is seen in the scripture. And there was this ritual, this way of doing a sacrifice that put the kids through the fire. You pass them through the fire. You make the children a sacrifice. Well, you say, well, how are we passing the kids through the fire? Well, we're passing them through the fire anytime we're not protecting their innocence, anytime we're not protecting them from the things that are lurking, seeking what it can devour. And one of the examples we used, Grandbaby, yesterday about the lurking of the adversary is the fact in the animals just born and just learning how to walk. And it don't take long to go through this process from birth to walking to running. It don't take long. But then when the babies are birthed, then they have to migrate. You know, everybody's migrating. They're moving from one place to the next for whatever purposes, whether it's water, whether it's territory, is swarming with predators or whatever, they're moving. Well, in that movement, they're often running. And even in their walking, the babies are in the center of the adults. They are not on the outside of them. They're on the inside. They're protected by the whole tribe of adults, the whole, the whole tribe, the whole, I can't even think of what that word is, but the entirety of that unit is protecting those babies. Those babies know to walk on the inside and to run on the inside because the predators are on the outside. And if they can get the, what'd you say?
Perimeter?
Well, they're not on the perimeter.
The herd
is what I was trying to think of. Yes. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. And, yeah, perimeter is what the older adults are doing for the children, like a hedge. They're the perimeter. So they're walking within the perimeter inside of that hedge of the herd, okay? And they are not going on the outside. Why? Because innately they understand where their protection comes from. And this is what you have to enforce with your children. You have to enforce that because the enemy would make them think that you're against them, that you're not their protector, that you're someone else. It's the same thing that the adversary did in the garden. Oh, he just don't want you to. No, this ain't that kind of party. I want you to, but I want you to do it in a way that it is proper and right. And what you're trying to do is outside of what you need to do based on your maturity. You're beyond a place. You don't need to be over there. I'm thinking about the Lion King, and he was talking about the Pride Lands, right? They were telling Simba, don't go over into the Pride Land. You can't, anybody watch the Lion King, you know about that part. You can't go over there. Now, as we are here, you are being primed for rulership in this place. This is your authority right here. This is your, and it's in our midst, not hidden in a closet, not in a room with your door closed, not with your lights off and you doing whatever you want to do. No, 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 no. This is going to be something that we can see. And when our eyes are not able to be on you, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem if you're trying to not be visible. Simba went right over into them pride lands. Went right over there. And then he had trouble because now he's trying to get out of a place that could mean his destruction. And hyenas was chasing him. He's a baby. He's not a big lion. Sure, a hyena has a problem with a large lion, but not a small one. And you got to let your children know the adversary don't have a problem with dealing with me. No, he got a problem dealing with me, but he don't have a problem dealing with you because you're small and you don't know what I know. You don't see what I see. You haven't lived as long as I've lived. You haven't been through what I've been through. You understand? So he has no problem dealing with you because you're ignorant, and ignorant is not a bad word. It's things that you haven't learned yet. So he wants to deal with the unlearned.
Well, one of the things that I was just came to mind is how he tries to cut off the communication between you and your children. You know, and those devices that we have, like the phones and the games and the TV and all of that, is used to, you know, how we used to sit down to dinner as a family. And usually if you sit down at dinner as a family, you're sitting down and you communicate and you're talking. But now, a lot of times, if you're sitting down, you got devices in your hand. You're not sitting down communicating. So the communication is cut off. So you don't have, you're not putting into your children what you ought to be putting into them because you're distracted, they're distracted, and they're being fed, you know, the ideas of whoever that they're listening to. They're planting in them. They're sowing seeds in them instead of us sowing seeds that we ought to be sowing into them. These devices, these movies, other things are sowing seeds into our children. And last night I was led to call my daughter. My daughter just turned 18. I was like, I'm going to start calling her nightly to talk to her. Where are you at? You know, she's getting ready to go off to college. Where are you at? What are you doing? You know, I'm your mother. So she called me. She was like, I called you earlier. I called you to tell you such and such. You didn't call me back. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm dealing with my dad, but I forgot to call her back. But she was like calling me to tell me what was going on. And, I'm like, oh, wow. You know, but yeah, we got to keep that line of communication open. It's very important. So that you can plant what you need to plant. But if the lines are closed,
And it's funny. You got to keep them open. And it's funny because those things do close them off. They draw them into a place, you know. They draw them into a place and away from your space, because that's the only way that the adversary can do what he's doing, is if he draw them out of your presence. So it's the same thing with us, right, with the Father. If we come out of his presence, we're open, you know. Same thing that happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel. When he moved his hand, they were open. But as long as they were in his presence and following his direction, cloud by night, fire by night, cloud by day, these things in place for them to be able to follow and identify and understand what movement he had and when they should be still. You know, just for a moment, consider the fact that what if they were moving when the cloud wasn't over the tabernacle? What kind of enemies you think they would have encountered? What kind of situations? Because, you know, sometimes the Father is stopping us or making us be detained for him. It looks like a detention. He's detaining us for a moment because we're preventing. It's, something's being prevented. It's like when you don't understand that you're trying to get out the door and all of a sudden something is lost that you would never lose, right? You're looking around. You're like, how? I never lose that. My keys are always right here. You know, they always on this hook. Now all of a sudden they're not on the hook. Well, the angels might have moved them because you need to look for them keys, because up the road there was a 12-car pileup and you wasn't in it because you was detained. You were kept from that. And these are the things that we have to absolutely explain to them, that there are things that you're being kept from. There are things that you don't know. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here so you can know the things that you need to know, so I can help you navigate life. Because life is not about what you're thinking it's about. Yes, you're a child, you're going to have fun, all those things. But everything that you think is fun ain't fun. Some things that you think is fun is a direct assault on your future. But you don't know that because you're a child. So the thing, darkness, doors, and devils, this is real. You know, we got to identify the original defeat of darkness happened throughout the Bible. But when that master came, when the Mashiach came, and he overthrew death and the grave, the enemy thought he had him. He thought, oh, for sure, it's a wrap now. He was not counting on the fact that he would go down into the depths of the earth and set captive. Now, they were receiving the freedom. They didn't know salvation on the level that the people in that time would know it. But because he was there, he went back in the time. Oh, my. See, this is where different religions get some ideas from. They get the ideas of, what do they call that, purgatory and all of these. They get, you know, they get all these different ideas, and they stretch these ideas and go into different things. But there were things that he had to go back into because there were people that were sons. So they had to receive the freedom. When it showed up, they had to receive the freedom just like everybody else was going to receive it. They had to get that freedom that was being brought to mankind just like everybody else in that time was receiving it. So let's look at this a little further. It says, there shall not be found among you, and I'm in Deuteronomy 18:10, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, I need you to understand the differences between some things. Useth divination, or an observer of times, or an or a witch. There are some things we're going to find in, you know, with this week. Yeah, well, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday. Some things we'll define. And witchcraft, understand that witchcraft is the power element of a thing. It's the, so there are many subheadings under that, okay? Under witchcraft, you might find soothsaying, divination. So it's the vehicle for many things. It's the vehicle for many passengers, that's how I'll describe it. Witchcraft is simply the twisting, the bending of truth. It's the other direction. It's a settled place where I'm opposite of. I am going the other direction. I'm going against what the Father is saying. It's a spirit that is against what he's speaking. And it does its own thing instead of what he's saying. That's the crafting, okay? And so here's the thing. That's the vehicle or the power element or the system. Divination is a process of identifying things. So you'll... When we look in the word and we see Jacob dealing with Laban, his uncle, Laban says, I know by divination that you that it's because of you that I'm blessed. That means he's dabbling and dabbling in things, trying to find information. It's whom he's communicating with that is leading him to understand what is connected to him is the reason for his success. This is why he keeps trying to change the wages. He keeps doing things to try to keep that relationship there. Because according to this dark power that he's dealing with, how he functions, how he gets his information, this is his ticket. This is his Jacob is his golden ticket. Okay? So divination is the process of identifying things. Okay? But sorcery, I'm just giving you three today. Witchcraft is the method or the root. It's the power element. It's the system. Divination is a process. So anything like divination, enchanting, all of those kind of things. These are processes of identifying with or identifying things. So we could just say identifying with things. You're identifying with things in both directions from the aspect of what you're connected to and what you're trying to find out. Okay? But sorcery, on the other hand, is the act of utilizing objects or items to accomplish a task. Sorcery. So the sorcery, you could look at a witch who's in operation, right? She's the power. She's the system of where the person is coming to. But she's going to lend herself to the use of this object called a crystal. How she's processing through that is divination. Does that make sense? Just trying to give you some separation of some of the words so that you'll understand. And I've used these. I chose these because these were the ones that I studied in the forefront, and they absolutely have a lot to do with what the children are being taught. You know, you really don't branch off into other things until you've kind of touched ground with these things, the method, the process, and then the act of utilizing the objects or whatever it is that you're using. So it says here, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his daughter his son pass through the fire, or they use a divination or an observer of time. That's dealing with people who deal like with horoscope, you know, the zodiac, all of that kind of thing. And I've been really pressing on people, some people that I know and love, like, you got to leave that alone. You got to walk away from that. Now, I was casting out devils out of everybody yesterday, including the dog. I'm just telling you, I just wasn't in no mood yesterday, and I'm just not going to be in no mood because I'm really not for it, and I'm just really not for it. It's stuff that's coming on the horizons that if you don't utilize where you are now to practice, you're not going to be ready. You're not going to be ready. You need to get comfortable with casting out devils. Now, understand, there's people around you all day, every day that need devils cast out of them, and you may even experience some different phenomenon now that you're hearing this. You know, you may encounter some things along the way, but even as you're encountering them, it's not, they don't have to necessarily be a one-on-one. You could walk past somebody that's going through some things. I've been in some environments where people were going through things. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody that was in the hospital, and in their hospital bed, somebody next to them was making this ironic noise, just around, just make. And I said, I rebuked that devil. I cast that thing out. You got to shut up. And I'm not talking to them. I'm on the phone with the person, but I'm dealing with the devil that's in the bed next to them and the person that's in the bed next to them. And they shut up. And no, I don't want to hear that. And sometimes you got to be aware of the fact that the devil will make sound that sound like it's holy. You ever been in a church service and somebody, the way they say hallelujah just vex you? You're like, well, why is hallelujah vexing me? It's something in there. It's something in there. Okay. I was listening to a story of a man of Yah that was saying, and I put a couple minutes extra on here so you guys could share today. He was saying that this woman was sitting on the front row, and it was like every 3 to 5 minutes, she'd say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's just the way that she was saying it. He was like, what? Like, something ain't right, you know? So when he got up to preach, he told the father, I can't preach with hallelujah in the front row. Like, well, only thing to be between you, people is devil dealing with. Like, well, deal with it. Do something about it, guys. You do something about it. He said, well, I don't know what to do. He said, well, it looks like the devil is getting the upper hand. He said, no, the devil won't win. He said, well, I can't tell. That thing tickled me because the father know how to push you and put you in a position, I promise you. But he stood up. When he stood up, he cast the devil out. He said, shut up. And it was crazy because at that point that he said, shut up, now she was barking. So there are processes at times. It's not always on the first silence. It's not always on the first be quiet that devil is going to shut up. But if you don't know that your authority is bigger than his, that's what he's testing. Let me see if you know who you are, right? Let me see if you really know what you're saying, if you understand your authority. Now, the ushers, everybody in the place was okay with her. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They was okay with that. But when she started barking, here come the ushers, right? And he told them, go sit down. Like, you wasn't coming up here when she was hallelujahing. But because we have this concept that because she's saying hallelujah, then that means it's something righteous. It means it's something divine. Not so, okay? And children could be saying the right things, but absolutely be operating in the wrong spirit. They could be under the radar, like I said, seem like they're doing okay. But you got to identify, you got to manage the seeds that are being sown. If you're not managing your garden, then you're opening your garden up not only for wild seeds, but for vandals. And they coming for the fruit you laid, not for the other stuff. Okay? So it says here they use a divination or an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch. It says, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. They're looking at all of this on their video games, on YouTube videos, all of that. You know, if we go back to the beginning of things, as far as we know to go back, which is Adam, right? And we come forward, we can identify with the fact that the watchers had conversations with people because they wanted to teach them things. So what they're dealing with, the thing that you're up against, is you should be their teacher, but there's something else that wants to teach them. Okay? There's something else that wants to teach them. And that's what you're battling with. I'm going to open up the line and let you guys share.
Yes. As you were talking, I was thinking about how we definitely need to monitor the things. I mentioned a while back about this lady. They were commending her about her child and how the child had been trained so, and it was doing, you know, a lot of great things. And so the lady's response, child could speak different languages and all this kind of stuff. Her response was, children are like a garden, and you plant what you want to grow up in that garden. And I agree with that. I was like, wow, that's profound. You know, I'm like, wow, you don't think about it like that, but whatever you want to come up, that's what you plant in your garden. And if you have a natural garden, you plant what you want in the garden, but it's other stuff that come up. But when it come up, you pull it up. You get rid of it. You have to go back in that garden and weed up, pull them weeds up and get that stuff out that don't belong in the garden because that's not what you planted. So that's how we got to be with our children. And I was thinking about my daughter one time. She asked me, she was like, Mom, can you take me to get this book? I took her to get this book, and the book was called Rector's Journal. And I had no idea what the book was about. And I bought this book.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know about it?
Yes.
When I was like, I don't believe you asked me to go buy a book like this. But I'm just saying, it's just so how, and I thought about the challenges, you know, like now the thing is, they challenge on social media to do these crazy things like set yourself on fire or, you know, all these crazy things that are introduced to our young people. You know, for them to do. It was another thing that I had found out about my daughter, you know, my daughter and her friends. It was a challenge where you put, it was a condom challenge, where you take this condom and you fill it up with water and hold it over your head and let it go, and the water goes out of the condom, but the condom goes over your head.
Witchcraft.
Really?
White really? Ritual.
So I'm just saying, it's just so important, you know, and like you were mentioning necromancers and all of these things, they're in these shows all the time, but do we understand what they are? Do we even know what the definition of these things are? So I'm like, you know, that's why we need, you know, the scripture says we're not ignorant concerning the devices of Satan. So we need to really be on our job because he's on his.
Yeah.
Tina, I got a question. That book, Reckless Journal, is that something about where it tell you to tear the pages out and?
Yes, yes. It tell you to do a whole lot of dumb stuff.
I just bought that book for my granddaughter. I tell her to the same thing. Just a week ago, Apostle, I think I shared it with
you. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And when. I mean, I'm always up for her reading because she is a reader. And that day, we were at Target, and of all things, she went and found this book. And when we got in the car, I said, well, what's the name of the book? I didn't remember the name, and I still didn't until she just brought it up. But I do remember, like, I looked at her, and she began to tell, I said, what are you doing? I just bought the book. She said, well, I'm just following the directions what the book said. I said, what did the book say? I didn't see that book. And all I could do was, like, say to myself, you big dummy. I said, you know what, Ari? I said, just like that time we went to Barnes & Noble, she came back with this book. This generally, I'll see, well, let me see what you're buying. Well, she came with this book, and I said, oh, no, that's demonic. I said, I don't even know what's in it. I said, but I can tell from, I just discerned it. As soon as she brought it, I said, take that back. I'm not buying that. I said, I did say I'll buy you a book, but I'm not buying that book. Now, if you find another book, That in my spirit, I say I will. But that one, it was something about, you could tell it was something about witchcraft. And then she, we was looking at some clothes. She went to these shirts with skulls on. I said, I ain't buying them shirts either, so you might as well just, I said, matter of fact, let's go. But she ended up, I said, I will get that book for you. I got that book, but when we got in the car, I said, she still got something. And I didn't know it, but that's probably the name of the book. Then she was drawing circles. It's like activities, but I was like, well, what? So I was just watching her, but when she began to tear that page out, I said, why would you tear a page out of a book I just bought for you? I said, okay, I know what to do next time. I'm going to pay closer attention.
We had a conversation after that. I'm like, first of all, I told her how I felt about it. I'm like, I don't believe you had me drive you to the mall to buy this book. And you know, I just told her, I said, now, if the book told you to jump off a bridge, are you going to do that too? You know, and that's the conversation that needs to be had. You know, not just say no, but, okay, this is why I'm telling you no. This makes, you know what I'm saying, you got to think for yourself, first of all. Somebody is telling you to do something that you know is crazy, and you're going to do it?
Yes.
And here's the thing, even if what they're not telling you in the moment, even if what they're not, if what they're telling you in the moment is not crazy, because ripping a page out of a book might not seem mentally deranged, because we tear pages out of notebooks when we're done. You know, they tear them out of books when they're in class to give to the teacher, whatever. Okay, cool. But the thing is, like I was sharing with them, as long as you're alive, you're going to be following instructions and directions. But it matters whose directions and whose instructions that you're following. You understand? That's what matters.
Yeah.
And they could willingly tear a page out of a book, write circles. If you told them to sit down and write circles on a page, they'd be like, why? I mean, think about that. For what? Why would I do that? Like, that's boring. But because there's a challenge.
Right.
And the culture
exactly.
is saying, this is what we need to do. You know, it takes me back to the movie that I watched the other day. And in the movie, this little girl who was filled with devils, you know, and her parents had locked, I told you I'm covering myself, had locked them, barricaded themselves in their room. They had these locks, like three levels of locks on their door. And the caseworker realized, oh, they were barricading themselves in their room. Like, duh, dummy. You should have been paying attention to that when you went to their house. You know what I'm saying? They were barricading themselves in their room. But this little girl, the spirit that was in her would transform her, okay? And like she was whispering, this is when the lady figured it out. She saw it for herself because the little girl was at one of her meetings. Go potty, come right back. The little girl was at one of her meetings, one of the therapy sessions with the other kids, right? And after the class, now there was already an incident where the phone call came from the woman's house and this little boy killed his parents, okay? They're trying to figure out, why would he do that? He loves his parents. Why would he kill his parents? And they said, a phone call came from your house. And she's like, I didn't call him. I didn't call his parents, you know? Like, honest to goodness, I didn't. And they couldn't figure it out. But she saw it for herself. She saw it with her own eyes. When this little girl leaned over into one of the other little girl's ears and began to talk, her mouth was formed differently. Her lips was pointed at the tips. Her face was different. And she was whispering. Oh, my God. Even as I'm talking about it, I feel the Holy Ghost, because this thing got to be dealt with. You hear me? This thing is whispering to the children in book form, in video form, in game form, in their interactions with children. This is why, you know, back in our day, we weren't just allowed to go any and everywhere. That was a thing, you know? But now, oh, well, that's her friend. She could go over there. No, excuse me. What do they believe? That's when that matters. As an adult, when you're dealing with people in business and different kinds of things like that, that's not your issue, because the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You got to know how to tap into things. But as a child, they don't have control over that environment. And you're sending them into an environment that you're not familiar with, for them to be encountering what you don't know. Right? So this little girl whispers, and, you know, it created a problem. Now, she also, when she would call on the phone, the movie show, when she would call on the phone, it would be this static on the line. And it's, you know, this, and she'd be having whatever conversation, but she'd be having it in a male voice. I told my grandchildren yesterday, and I'm telling y'all now, demons are, there's no baby demons. They've been around a long time. There are no baby demons. Every one of them is mature. Okay? Turn that off. Granny's on the line. No baby demons. So what's operating in that child is full grown. Okay? That's why some of the things they know to do are beyond their years, because that thing is full grown. All right? She called one of the woman's workers, co-workers, or, you know, counterparts, and he was in his house just doing the thing. He was the counselor for those sessions that she was going to. And she said to him on one occasion that she had bad thoughts about people. And he said, about who? Like who? He said, like, bad thoughts about you. And she was naming people. He didn't take no mind for that. He didn't, you know, she's a child, right? But when he's home, right, in the middle of the night, he's in the bathroom, and he answered that. And it was weird, because he kind of felt something like it, and he was kind of doing it here, and he got up, and he went to the bathroom. When he went to the bathroom, a horn came out of his ear. He killed it, and he's like, wow, what in the world, like a hornet? But before that whole scene was over, it was a swarm that was on the back of his jacket. They were falling out of his ear. They were falling out of his nose, and they all just rushed out of his mouth. I mean, this is, you know, we look at these things, and we're like, wow, that's, you know, that's, like, really entertaining. That's something. No, this is, supernatural things are real. Okay, this man fell. It wasn't just the stings that killed him. He broke his own neck, throwing his neck back, trying to deal with this thing. And then he fell and hit his head on the tub, on the edge of the tub or something. Just listen, it's nothing to play with. Demonic activity is nothing to play with. It's nothing to sit and watch our children go through these processes and be entertained by these things and do nothing about it. It's not a game. The devil's playing for keeps. He's not playing for, you know, I told him yesterday, he's not looking to, you know, how y'all play in the house and we'd be like, leave the doors alone. You run in a room and you trying to close the door before somebody's chasing you come. Y'all are just playing. You have no intention, even though I'm screaming, stop playing with the doors because somebody's fingers are going to get hurt or smashed. That's what I foresee, but that's not your intention, but that's the devil's intention every day. You know what I'm saying? That's his intention every day. It's to harm. It's to kill. It's to steal. It's to destroy. That is his intention. So when we're dealing with darkness, we're dealing with these doors and we're dealing with these doors. And in the age of the opening, in the age of the opening, the womb, the eyes, the ears, the mind, we're in the age of the opening, and the doors are not just external but internal. So we got to be mindful to manage the doors. And I want to go back to the garden thing that we were talking about, because that garden place, this is why I said you got to know the origin of things. And if you understand the origin of the thing, you understand how it fits across the board. We're talking about the children as gardens, right? So think of yourself as a parent, as Adam. Think of yourself as a parent, as Adam, okay? And you've been given this instruction to dress and to keep the garden, to protect and to cultivate. That's the same thing in marriage. It's the same thing in your business. Whatever he's given us, we've got to treat it like the garden. That means we got to fellowship with him in that place. And we got to protect the place from anything that would be coming into the environment to try to contaminate the relationship, thus cause us to be thrown out of that place and have to work by the sweat of our brow. You're making your job hard if you're not doing the job now in the children. You're making your job hard for later. You're making it hard because by the sweat of your brow, you're going to deal with some stuff. You're going to deal with some stuff regardless. But when you are confident in what you put in someone, you can rest in that. Some of my children are going through a lot of things, but I was confident. I've been confident in the fact that I put some in them. So I'm confident of what I put in them. Be still. I'm confident of what I put in them. So because of that confidence, I didn't have to be afraid of what they were being processed through. I don't have to be afraid of that because I'm very confident that the directions that the Father gave me, even when I didn't know all that I know right now, was enough to bring them to him, enough to bring them to a place of seek and search, okay? And continual conversation with me even now. Hey, come in here and sit down. We were having a conversation, one of my daughters and I, yesterday. Long conversation throughout the day. Just, you know, she's letting me know about the things that the Father was revealing to her and this and that and the other. And she'd been through some things. But this her season to come out. And she's recognizing the very same things I'm sharing with you guys in prayer. It's time. It's time for the sons. This is our hour. This is our moment. And a lot of people are realizing this moment. They're not realizing it from a spiritual perspective yet, but because of the natural perspective that they're gaining, like, okay, we're being tricked. We're being duped. That's the beginning of the relationship. When they begin to realize, something ain't right. Something is wrong with this picture. And they're looking around. Something ain't right. Something is fishy. Something ain't lining up. That's the beginning of that drawing. It's the beginning of that, you know. So we've got to manage. We've got to manage what's going on in the in their environment because they're our garden. They are our garden. I love that garden analogy because I live by that. That's just across the board. That's what that is. Dress and keep. Cultivated and protect. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. It's got to be cultivated. It's got to be protected. If the Father is giving it, there's a responsibility with it. It's a definite responsibility with it. Deuteronomy. So that's how it is. Chapter 18 in Deuteronomy, verse 8. They shall have like portion to eat. I went up. Hold on. I don't want to do that. That's not what I was trying to do. Okay. We went to verse 11. Okay. Let's do 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto Yah. And because of these abominations, Kai, I'm on the radio. Because of these abominations, Yah thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Remember the conversation he had about you're not going into the land because you're perfect and because you have earned this, but because the nations are abominable to me. Right? But they also got cast out of their own land because they went in and did exactly what he said don't do. You know? I want to go here because we talked about this the other day. He said, thou shalt be perfect with Yah, thy God. In other words, walk in maturity. See, perfection doesn't mean you're not going to miss some things, but you're certainly not going to do things that you were told not to do. So let's clarify that. Perfection, being maturity. I'm giving you the instruction on what not to do. So being perfect before me is following that instruction. Not that you won't miss some other things or you might fall into some other traps or whatever along the way because you're learning the lay of the land. But the thing that I explicitly said don't do, your perfection is in you keeping my word, doing the thing that I told you and not doing the thing that I told you not to do. See, we think perfection is that, you know, we know all the answers. We don't. No, you know because the Father has told you. You know what he's giving you. That's it. Come in here and sit, Sophia. You know what he's giving you. And that's all they have to work on, what we're giving them. So if we're giving them the freedom and the space to do whatever, then that's what they're doing. We're giving them the freedom to be whatever the adversary is courting them to be. Whatever he's gracing them to be. Whew. Said, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers and of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, Yah thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Yah thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. He's saying, listen, you're going to have to listen to somebody. I'm going to put the information in somebody that's connected to me. And I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to talk to them. And you're going to need to follow the instruction that I put inside of them, because that's where your freedom is. A lot of people, they take very lightly, you know, what people say to them. Well, you got to know who you're connected to. This is why I have that conversation all the time. Who you're connected to matters. Knowing who you're connected to, understanding that who you're connected to matters, because whomever you're connected to, you're following. And if you don't think you can follow that, you need to get on. If that's not something that you can do, you need to sit there and be quiet until I'm done. I'm almost done. And we'll have a conversation that'll help your hearing, okay? At the end of the day, we've got to manage those environments. We've got to manage. In 1 Samuel 28, after he had followed specific instructions to get rid of witches, to get sorcerers out of the land, all that, in a time where he felt like he needed to hear and he couldn't hear because his father was no longer responding to him, people seek me out a witch, somebody with a familiar spirit. I need to get some answers. You'd be surprised at some of the things that children are functioning in and doing because they're being told to do it. And we just talked about it from the book perspective. But imagine these subliminal conversations of darkness as it pertains to talent, as it pertains to their life and what he wants them to do, the direction that he wants to take them. This is a serious matter. Come over here, Sophia. Serious matter. Nothing to be played with. It's very serious. And you may have to tell some people, you know, his nature of things, because relationships just, you know that. Relationships stay together. There's a reason why they're connected, because see, that reinforcement of that stronghold is there. It's there. Okay? So we got to deal with those things. We got to deal with those things immediately. Immediately. Okay? All right. I love y'all. Anybody got anything to share? Jump in. Go ahead and share. We'll come back to it tomorrow. Got plenty to say, but we'll come back to it tomorrow. I'm trying to give it to you in chunks and bite-sized pieces so that you can share it and you can go back over it yourself. Understanding that these signs shall follow them that believe. And you remember that thing that the Father gave me about being, about belief and execution? These signs shall follow them that believe. Belief is connected to execution. Them that believe, they're going to cast out devils. That's the first line of defense. Heal the sick, raise the dead. First line of defense is casting out devils. Why? Because a lot of times when you're dealing with people, there's a devil that you're dealing with first before you can deal with their health or anything else. Things require. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And like he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. I was connecting that to these things. Some things only come out by prayer and fasting. There are some specific roads and ways of doing things that are necessary for us. That's the point that I'm making. And you're going to need to do whatever it takes. Put that back. You don't even know what that is. You're going to need to do whatever it takes. Some things may be a sacrifice, and it may hurt a little bit. You may be hungry, but you're going to get breakthrough. You may be hungry, but you're going to get breakthrough. You'd rather not be hungry and your kids suffer, or be hungry and fight for them from a spiritual perspective. You know, we have to deal with some stuff. We're going to deal with these devils in this season, and the victory belongs to the sons. The victory belongs to the sons. I love y'all. Y'all got anything to share? If you don't, this house is about to get started. I'm going to get out of here so that we can have peace and quiet while we do what we do. And we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Anybody got anything they want to share? see. Let me know you don't, because I'm cutting out. Cutting out of here. Love you more. Love you more. I pray you guys were blessed by everything that was shared by the people of God this morning. I believe it's going to bless you if you can hear it and heed it. You're going to be blessed by it. Pay attention to what's going on in your environment, because the enemy he's real cunning, real crafty, you know, in what he does. So he's not going to blatantly just do things that are out in the open. But check it. Check out those secret places, those underlying things. Check that out, because you'll find some things that you didn't think you would find in those places concerning your babies. I love you. Peace to your house. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Peace.